Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore, and I am here to talk to you about WWE SmackDown that aired on March the 15th, 2013. Normally, I am joined by Jake Barnett, but had some scheduling conflicts this week. I am going to play Airsoft by the time you hear this on Saturday. In fact, I will probably already be there. For those who don't know, it's kind of like the idea of a paint pellet range, but it's BB guns, and they shoot the little plastic BBs, and apparently this is a big event. They're recreating one of the one of the battle scenes in Iraq, I think maybe is what it is. I don't know. It's my first time going. My buddy talked me into it. So by the time you're hearing this, I will either be getting pelted with little plastic BBs or back home from getting pelted with little plastic BBs, depending, like I said, on when you're listening to this. So Jake and I weren't able, he had to work this weekend as well, had some stuff to do, so we weren't able to get together. Usually we do get together every week, though, and review the WWE SmackDown audio show. We do a lot of audio here on the site each and every week. We do a review for each of the major shows. Jason Powell does a Q&A audio, the .NET Countdown with Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett, also a very popular audio. .NET Weekly audio show, Jason and I do every Thursday. We look at all the news of the week and often break news not made its way to the site. Talked a lot this past week about what Impact was going to be like and what we expected to see and where WrestleMania is going right now. And if you've ever thought about being a .NET member, it's a good time. Your one-month membership will carry you all the way through WrestleMania at this point. So if you've ever wanted to try it, this is the time to do it during WrestleMania season. And again, for just $7.50, we will get you all the way through WrestleMania. You'll be covered through all the Raws and SmackDowns leading up to it, and of course the Raw afterwards. So if you've been thinking about doing it, go ahead and pull the trigger now. Give it a shot for $7.50. Once you've had it for 30 days, I'm sure you'll figure out that you want to keep it for a while. Go ahead and set up to that annual option. If you take the 12-month option, we'll knock $2 off each month for you, knock it down to $5.50. So definitely go be a .NET member. Head on over to ProWrestling.net and get access to the ad-free version of the site, all of the audio I just talked about. In fact, also posted this Friday, exclusive to our members, Jason Powell's interview with former WWE star Matt Hardy, who's now working in Ring of Honor. I have only been able to hear the first little bit of that audio, not had a chance to listen to all of it yet, but sounds like a very good interview with Matt Hardy. That's available to our members right now if you sign up at ProWrestling.net. Just look on the right-hand side of the page for the .NET member sign-up link. Click there and we'll get you started. Again, you'll get that all that audio, the ad-free version of the site, the .NET member forum, and the .NET member blog section. Check it out. Let's talk about SmackDown, though. This was taped on March the 12th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a good crowd for WWE. They were really hot a couple of times tonight. They really liked Sheamus and Randy Orton at the beginning. They liked Jericho at the end in the main event. They got up a couple of times for people. They got up for Kane and Daniel Bryan too. So it was a really good crowd out of Fort Wayne, Indiana tonight. But kind of a mediocre SmackDown. It wasn't a bad show, but it wasn't a good show either. The best thing about the show, though, was the build for the Shield and their six-man match they're going to have. They did announce it's going to be Ryback, Sheamus, and Randy Orton. That's official now. Those three will be facing the Shield at WrestleMania. Thought it was going to be Big Show, teased that it was going to be Big Show. It may yet still end up being Big Show by the time it's all said and done, but right now it's Ryback along with Sheamus and Randy Orton facing the Shield, and they did a good job of building on that. I'm still a little frustrated with the Shield right now, though, because they're starting to get stale. It's still a very good act. These guys have a lot left in them and a lot more they can do, but that's kind of the thing is that they have all of this potential left out there and they're not really doing anything. They're just beating up people, talking about injustice. The act doesn't mature. The act doesn't progress in any way. I've kind of give up on the idea of them working for a higher power, for want of a better term. You know, there was some question at one time, were they working with CM Punk, as far as part of CM Punk's crew, but it turns out they were hired and whatnot. So, I don't know that I necessarily want to see them working with a higher power sort of character at this point. I'm really okay with them just feeling like they're getting screwed over. But they need a better job of communicating that. They just talk about the criminals that are committing all this injustice, and it's still just vague enough that I think they need to solidify around it. And more importantly, after WrestleMania, WWE needs to start reacting to their, quite frankly, is guerrilla warfare or terrorist type of attacks. They swoop in, slam people down, you know, commit acts of terror, if you will, within a wrestling community, you know, because of injustice, because they see things as not being right. And so I think it's time WWE starts addressing that sort of thing and either, you know, doing something about these guys or saying, yes, you're right. And you know, the act just needs to mature a little bit. It's kind of stuck in stall right now. But they did a good job with the beatdown of Randy Orton and Sheamus later on in the show that got had Booker T and Teddy Long back there, you know, showing real concern and whatnot, or you know what I'm saying, showing concern as part of the act. Ryback looked concerned. They all kind of got together. We'll take care of this. You go take care of that. And the reason why I say it may yet be Big Show, again, they teased that earlier in the show as well with when Big Show was asking, you know, who these guys were going to pick. It was teased then that it was going to be him. And what happened in the match after the Shield attacked Sheamus and Randy Orton in the back, Ryback found them. Booker T told him to go handle his business in the ring. His business in the ring was Mark Henry. There was no real match. They locked up. The Shield came out, attacked Ryback. Ryback got the better of him for a second, but then Henry kind of distracted him, and that allowed the Shield to beat him down. And then after the Shield left, you get Henry climbing in the ring and taking pot shots at Ryback. He hit the World's Strongest Slam on him three times, started yelling at him, "I'm not like these other punks that you've been with or that you've mowed through. You will not mow through me." And left him lying there after those three World's Strongest Slams. So I'm not convinced that this isn't the old bait and switch that we've got Ryback, you know, for right now, but he is going to end up in a singles match with Mark Henry at WrestleMania because of what we saw, and Big Show will take his place in the six-man match. It's not a guarantee, but I think that's probably where ultimately they'll end up going. I said when we were talking about the spoilers for this, I wanted to see how it plays out, and now I kind of understand how it goes. I'm pretty sure they're going to do the bait and switch here and have Ryback demand to get his hands on Henry. They could keep with what they have, keep that six-man match, go back to Ryback and Henry afterwards, but I think it muddies the water a little bit. It makes the six-man match with the Shield seem unimportant. I think it would be a real bad idea for that to be how they do that. I think they need to just go ahead and move Henry into a feud with, or move right back into the feud with Henry completely. Let Big Show take the place there and play off of the tension between them that they showed backstage when Show was pleading his case for why he should be the guy that joined Orton and Sheamus for to face the Shield at WrestleMania. And again, I think that, you know, that sort of distrust can spread, and that's what's ultimately going to lead to Randy Orton turning, and he'll be building. He and Sheamus, I think, are going to come out of WrestleMania feuding, if not at Mania, then very, very soon after Mania. Those two guys are going to end up in a marriage together. So all that was kind of laid out in this show, and they did all that, but then the rest of the show was just kind of, one good diva spot with the Bella Twins showing up. We'll talk about that as we get to it in the show. But other than that, just kind of a mediocre show, a C-plus show, if you will. One that's missable, but if you sit through it, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. So let's take the show from start to finish. We open cold with Sheamus' music. All four guys made their way to the ring. Brad Maddox, once again, joining Josh Matthews and Michael Cole on commentary. In our first match of the night, Sheamus and Randy Orton defeating Team Rogue Scholars in about 10 minutes. This was your standard WWE tag match. The heels got a few minutes of offense just to go into the commercial break. Cody hit a disaster kick off of the table to give them a little bit of work in control, but primarily that they were there to show off the baby faces. Sandow eats the bro kick, and Cody Rhodes eats the RKO, and Randy Orton gets the victory. After the matches, of course, what the big deal was, that's when the Shield appeared on the screen. Talked about how, you know, even though they've gone after Rock and Cena and whatnot so many times, they're still there being the criminals, committing the injustices, taking their spots on WrestleMania. They said they didn't have the most dominant force in wrestling wasn't on the show, and that injustice needed to be rectified. And so Sheamus and Randy Orton should pick a partner and face the three of them at WrestleMania. Sheamus and Orton agreed, and Dean Ambrose closed by saying, "You will believe in the Shield at WrestleMania." It was an okay promo. It worked. It got us to where we needed to go. I liked what happened later in the show better. I thought the attack later on in the show was pretty good. But this was okay. This was fine for what it was. Again, they got to where they wanted to be and moved on from there. After commercial break, we got, I lost my place here. Brock Lesnar, the video with his response, or I guess Paul Heyman's response for Brock Lesnar, Triple H's initial challenge, and then hyping Triple H's response on Monday. And then we went right back to Sheamus and Orton. They were backstage this time, and they agreed they had picked the right person to join them in their quest to defeat the Shield. Big Show walks up at this point, pleads his case, explains why he should be the guy they've picked, what they needed, because the Shield had been so dominant, is they needed a dominant force as well to be able to stand against the Shield. They said they couldn't agree more, and that's why they had picked this guy. They pointed past him, and there was Ryback and Big Show had a face-off kind of moment, and then Show just shook his head and walked away. Again, I think they make the switch here, and I don't know if Show helps get them there or what, but I think this sowed the seeds for where he goes. Because what else do you do with Big Show otherwise? How else do you get him into a program at this point? And with what happens later, what's already happened with Mark Henry and Ryback, and with what happens later in the show, it's kind of hard to think that, why don't you go with that since that's what you've already got worked out? And as far as Ryback and Mark Henry, you've already got that kind of built there. Replace Big Show in the triple threat. So, again, I think that's where they're going, and this was part of that. We went to the ring after that, and all four ladies already in the ring for our second match of the night. Layla and Caitlin defeating Tamina and Oksana. Not a whole lot to say here. A fine women's match. Caitlin and Layla get the win. Layla tags herself in after Caitlin had hit the spear on Oksana. Layla tags herself in and hits her, I forget what she calls it, and I should have looked it up, but I didn't. But her pop out of the corner, crossbody block. She comes up, she jumps on the bottom turnbuckle, then the second turnbuckle, and then pops out for the crossbody. She calls it the Layla. So I can't remember what the hell it is, but. At any rate, they hit that move, but the big thing that this did was it set up that the Funkadactyls, Brodus Clay's ladies who danced with him, were backstage watching on a monitor, and when the match was over, they turned around, and lo and behold, there were the Bella Twins. And not for nothing, but I had to ask my wife. She says yes, that tape and hairspray could make the one Bella Twin who didn't have the boob job look like the other Bella Twin that did. I don't know if the other one had a boob job, but I got a couple of emails about that during the show. Yes, one of them had the boob job. I remember when she posted it. I want to say it was Nikki, but that's a 50-50 shot, but I think it was Nikki. But it could have been Brie. I don't know. But the other one had not at that time. I honestly did not keep up with the Bella's boobs all that much. But I did get some questions about that. One did. I do not think the other one has. But as to how they're able to pull it off, my wife, who was a former pageant contestant, assures me hairspray and that kind of clear medical tape you use, like they used to hold. If you've ever had an IV, especially, they use it to hold the IVs down, that clear kind of plasticky medical tape. Those two things combined can make A cups look like Q cups. So that kind of horrifies me that my wife knows that and I have all girls, but it is what it is. Anyway, moving on. So the Dactyls afterwards were shown backstage talking to the Bella Twins, and the Bellas kind of took a pot shot at them. The Dactyls were real nice first. "We're not twins, but we dress the same. We grew up watching you and idolizing you," which is really strange. The Bellas called them Hoochie Mamas, and I guess it was Cameron that was at first was like, we looked up to you so much, and then when they called them Hoochie Mamas, that's when Naomi was like, "Hold up, who are you calling a Hoochie Mama?" What? And then they said, "Well, we're really just here to introduce ourselves." They stuck their hands out. The Dactyls looked at each other, seemed uninterested in shaking hands. And at that point, the bell is attacked. And I'm going to give everybody in this little segment credit here because this was a pretty convincing beating. I mean, they tossed those girls all over the place. The Dactyls bumped well for the Bellas, and the Bellas looked like they were throwing, you know, legitimate punches. I mean, as far as they looked good is my point. And I was kind of impressed with this when it was all over. I thought, wow, we got a tag match that didn't really have anything to do with anything, even though the champion was in it. But then we get this backstage segment that was a little bit different and a second thing going on with the Divas. We've heard for some time, well, not for some time, but, you know, when the Bellas came back, Jason reported this week on .NET Weekly that apparently they know there's a problem with the women's division. They want to try to solve the problem. That's what they're doing. They're reaching out to stars they've had. Kelly Kelly and Beth Phoenix are two names that supposedly have been contacted. They've not been able to come to terms with yet, but and they may not ever, but they've reached out to them. They got the Bellas back in. Part of me doesn't want them to sign Kelly Kelly because it means I have to deal with the Kelly Kelly stalker on Twitter again, but you know, sometimes his tweets were entertaining, so I don't know, it might be okay. But yeah, I mean, it looks like they're trying to care about the women's division again, so good for them. We got a video recapping the Paul Bearer tribute and how all that played out with CM Punk and whatnot. Kane and Daniel Bryan made their entrance. Kane still looking pissed off. That led to our third match of the night after the break. Dolph Ziggler defeating Kane at 7 minutes and 16 seconds. Really like this match. It's rare that you'll see me really kind of rave about a 7-minute match, but this had good pacing, told a good story, and the finish was great. I mean, the way everything kind of went down, they protected Kane, they gave Ziggler a good win at the same time. It doesn't feel like a complete fluke, and yet at the same time, it doesn't make Kane look just incredibly stupid. You got Daniel Bryan attacking Biggie Langston on the floor. Langston killed him, so Kane killed Langston, which allowed Ziggler to kind of sneak attack on Kane and get the victory. Was very impressed with this match and with the finish of it. In fact, I just put in my report, I liked it a lot. It was kind of hard to find anything to say. It was just really well done, and they accomplished a lot there. If this is, you know, I've always been the guy against, you know, having these kind of marquee matchups, and not that Ziggler and Kane are, you know, giant megastars that are wrestling here at the top of the second hour. But, you know, the idea of not using enhancement talent and whatnot because they damage guys, this was a situation where they were able to pull it off, where everybody came out of this and gained something. Both guys gained something from this. Kane looked strong in defeat and just, you know, got distracted by what was going on. Ziggler gets a good win. He needs the wins. So if they could pull this off every time, I would be okay, more okay with stuff like this, but they don't. And what we end up with is a bunch of trashed guys. They try to rebuild into out of nowhere, and they can't understand why guys don't get over. But at any rate, we got, after the match, we had Ziggler standing over Kane and yelling at him, trash-talking him. Kane grabbed him by the throat, sat up, acted like he was going to do the choke slam, but Langston then ran in, clotheslined Kane, and then dropped his straps, picked him up, and did his finishing move on Kane and stood over him, screaming while AJ and Ziggler posed. So a nice little beat down at the end, too. I don't know if this means anything going forward, if this is going to be the tag match, the tag title match coming up soon, but I could think of worse things to do. Might be kind of fun to have Ziggler as both tag champion and world champion, depending on how they make it play out. We got another We the People parody with Ricardo Rodriguez and Alberto Del Rio. This time they were picking on Canadians and maple syrup, and all of that led into Jericho and R-Truth watching that segment backstage, which brought in the real Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger, who really picked on Canadians, in this case Chris Jericho. Jericho told them that he was raised in Canada, but he was born in the United States, so he was a real American just like them. He said that they should forget about politics because it's WrestleMania season. Swagger has a World Heavyweight Championship match with Del Rio, but more importantly, he has got Y2J tonight. And until then, he just needs to shut the hell up. He stormed off. You know, effective promo for what they were doing tonight, kind of cut and paste, nothing really impressive there. You know, but okay stuff. Swagger did more of the talking here than Coulter did. In fact, Jericho's line at one point was that Coulter looked like a cross between Rush Limbaugh and Yosemite Sam. That's kind of funny, I guess. I don't know. It just kind of felt flat to me. It wasn't as snappy, as poppy as I thought it might be, but you know, okay joke. But, you know, nothing really here again. This is kind of what I'm talking about, a mediocre SmackDown. Everything, you had a couple of good moments, and everything else was just kind of not bad. You know, not really anything to complain about, but nothing that moved me out of my seat either. One thing that almost moved my bowels, though, was what we had next. This was just garbage from start to finish. Great Khali and Natalya standing in the ring. Fandango's music hits. A woman dances out, dances on the stage there. Fandango comes out and dances with her for just a little bit. More posing than dancing, really. He grabs a microphone, asks Khali to say his name. He says something about their dance was ridiculous. They wonder if Khali could say his name. Of course not. Khali can't say my name. And nobody can say Fandango, right, apparently, to suit Johnny Curtis anyway. So, you know, but you can't get, friggin' Khali can't order coffee and scrambled eggs at a restaurant. What? Get the hell out of here with this. That's where I really got frustrated with this. It was like, can you say my name? Well, no, of course he can't. And I realize that's the gimmick, but Khali, like, get a guy out there who can actually speak, and he can't say your name. If your name was, you know, Bill Smith, friggin' Khali couldn't say it, let alone something that you're trying to. It's just dumb to make Khali be the one to come out there and try to say the line. But anyway, I didn't mean to get off on a rant there, but just so stupid. Fandango, at any rate, decided that Khali could not say his name. I'm probably saying it wrong for him, too. But he said, too bad that Khali needed to refund everybody's money there tonight because they were not going to see him. And he and his girl danced away. So I guess this is going to go on probably through WrestleMania, where he comes out. Nobody can say his name correctly. And then somebody somewhere will drag him in the ring, I guess, and actually get a match out of him. Dumb. Friggin', it's Khali. Can you say my... He can't say his own friggin' name. Ugh. Anyway, we got the John Cena and Rock hype video after that. Matt Stryker backstage asks, officially announces the Shield versus Sheamus, Orton, and Ryback. He said Booker T had made that official. He started to ask Sheamus and Randy Orton about it when the Shield attacked them, laid both guys out. They slammed Randy into one of the rolling roll-up doors at a big venue like that. And then Sheamus took a table bump on what looked like a catering table. And both those guys were laid out through the break. When we came back for the break, Booker T and Teddy Long was there. Ryback ran up, wanted to know what happened. Teddy Long said it was the Shield. It was the Shield. Booker T jumped in and said, he's got this. He told Ryback they would take care of Sheamus and Orton. But Ryback needed to take care of his business in the ring. And his business right now was Mark Henry. Mark Henry's music could be heard playing in the background as all this kind of played out. I thought it was a nice little thing to have Henry's music playing in the background. I thought that worked really well. But all in all, this just seemed like a silly waste of time with Booker T going, I've got this, you just go take care of that, you know, and not trying to, I don't know, just it just ringed fake to me. It just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me the way the whole thing played out. But that did send Ryback to the ring. Mark Henry finished his entrance, and then Ryback made his. And that led to our fourth match of the night, Mark Henry and Ryback fighting to an apparent no contest at 133. If you think we should have ruled this one as Ryback won by disqualification, I'm willing to hear that argument, because what essentially happened is the guys got in the ring, they locked up, collar and elbow, and then the Shield came out. They held that collar and elbow for about 30 seconds, and the Shield came out, and once the Shield came out, Mark Henry beat it. The Shield slid in the ring. That's where the no contest or the DQ, however you want to call it, happened. Shield slides in the ring, but Ryback gets the better of all of them, knocks them all out of the ring. Henry tries to sneak up on him from behind, but Ryback sees him, and that allows the Shield to attack Ryback from behind, beat him down, stand over him, get their big moment, and then they leave, and this is where Henry slides back in the ring, hits the World's Strongest Man three times, gets down on one knee, starts screaming at Ryback, I'm not like those other punks you ran through, you won't run through me, and he closed by screaming, Welcome to the Hall of Pain. And I said in my report, and this is the truth too, it's like I really, really, really liked what happened between Henry and Ryback. I liked how Mark Henry came out there, screamed at him, Henry was great there, I mean, everything about it was good. I just think it muddies the water for the six-man. If the idea is to switch that, again, if it's the bait and switch, then I understand it. I don't know that I like it that way, but I certainly understand it. But if it's not, I think it just muddies the waters. It makes the six-man less important because Ryback's going to be looking past that to Mark Henry. So I do hope they make the change. And again, I think that's what all this is kind of setting up. And then after commercial break, we did get our final match of the night, Jack Swagger versus Chris Jericho, or Swagger defeating Chris Jericho in about 17 minutes. Two commercial breaks in this match, good long match, lots of back and forth, crowd really hot. At one point, Jericho reversed a Patriot Act ankle lock into the walls of Jericho, and they popped big for that. What happened, I wrote toosed instead of tossed. Swagger, Jericho went for the code breaker. Swagger kind of caught him, tossed him back towards the turnbuckle. Jericho took the bump really hard. I don't know if that was great acting on his part or if he landed funny, but it looked like he hit the back of his head on the second turnbuckle kind of out of control. They're padded enough that I'm sure he wasn't hurt, but it did look like he landed and fell out of control more so than anything else. Ref immediately there, didn't seem to have any problem, and Swagger hits the gut-rich power bomb. For the victory, a good win for him because he beat Chris Jericho, but overall in the grand scheme of things, pretty much a meaningless match in that sense. I didn't come away from this one like I did with Kane and Ziggler, where I felt like everybody got out for the better. This just seemed like a large waste of time. We only got the silly crap from Alberto Del Rio. One was fine. One was one too many for me. But I can see why you do one. Some people thought that the first one was funny. The second parody video with Canadian or with maple syrup, and then he forgot the "we the people" line. He went "we" and looked for the rest of the line. When he said it too early the first time, it just didn't work. It's not working. It's not funny. This is your World Heavyweight Champion, your World Heavyweight Championship feud, and this is what you're doing with it. I really thought that this feud was going to have some legs, and it just hasn't. They've just not hit it off. They've not clicked. They've not done it. And I really think they're going to pull the trigger with Dolph Ziggler and move the title over to him because it's just not working with Swagger and Del Rio. I don't even know whose fault it is. There's plenty there to go around. Swagger and Culture have not been great all the time. You know, not necessarily so much delivery. I think that, you know, Culture is very seasoned and very smooth and says his lines well. I just don't know if they're giving him the best stuff. Swagger, you know, is kind of hit or miss sometimes. Del Rio and Ricardo with these stupid parody videos are not funny. They're not putting heat on it. And every time they talk regular, it's just not working. It's just a lot of blame to go around here. And it's a shame that the World Heavyweight Championship feud at WrestleMania is this week. At this point, I'm kind of hoping for the 18-second match. I don't want... You know, last year, I wanted to see that match. It wasn't so much that they're disrespecting the World Heavyweight Championship. It was, I want to see that match. This year, I don't even know that I want to see this match now, Swagger and Del Rio. They've kind of soured me on it. But a good win for Swagger in the sense of he beat a high-profile star in Chris Jericho and beat him clean. I mean, there wasn't a distraction there or anything like that. So, you know, Jericho went for his move. Swagger blocked it, hit his move, 1-2-3. So, a good win. I don't know. I just was not a fan of it. Pretty good match, too. But even there, not what I thought they might do. I have no idea with television sometimes what we're going to get. But I thought they might be a little flashy with this. Not so much solid match. Certainly a good match. I thought they might have one that was a little bit, you know, get a little rise out of you. But not here. Holding back a little bit, maybe, I guess. Or maybe that was all they had. I don't know. But... So again, a mediocre edition of SmackDown, not one that I'm going to recommend you go out of your way to see, but not one I'm going to recommend you go out of your way to avoid either. Sit through it. You may enjoy it more than me or a little bit less than me, but I don't think anybody's going to hate this episode of SmackDown at all. So check it out. And we're only a couple of weeks away now from WrestleMania. Let's see. We are exactly 3 weeks away from WrestleMania as of Sunday. The 17th will be 3 weeks from there. And things are getting hot and heavy. We've got, really at this point, you can figure we've got 5 more shows, 3 Raws and 2 SmackDowns. A SmackDown before WrestleMania is garbage. They're not even taping on that Tuesday. They're just going to take clips on Monday. It'll be mostly video packages that week. And then it's WrestleMania time, man. It's going to be wild around here. Lots of coverage that weekend. Lots of audio that weekend as well. I'm sure I'll be doing some Ring of Honor audios at some point that weekend. Jason Powell and I, of course, will get together on Sunday night for the flagship audio review with he and I for WrestleMania. We might have a guest join us, might not. Still have no idea what we're going to do there. Usually the other guys get together and do an audio show as well. So just a lot of good stuff coming up that's going to be exclusive to our members. So head right now. You've heard the audio. You know what we have to offer. Head on over to ProWrestling.net. Click on that .net member sign-up link and plug in right now for $7.50. And let's go all the way to WrestleMania and a little bit beyond. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for your continued support of the .net site. We really appreciate you making us your home for wrestling news on the Internet. Until next week, when Jake and I should be back together and tag-teaming again for SmackDown Audio Review, I'm Chris Shore. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a good weekend.